everything. Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly sponsored this month by our friends from the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to check out the latest shows and book your tickets. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. On the show tonight, we head to the Coromandel to chat to singer-songwriter Dylan on the release of his latest track, and in the studio we have guests from Massive Theatre Company as they celebrate an amazing milestone this year. Now, to kick off the show tonight, as it's New Zealand Music Month, we have on the line the fabulous Blake Stanton to chat about his latest release. Kia ora, Blake.
Kia ora, how's it going?
We are good, thank you. And we're taking a little diversion to our usual start of the show because it's New Zealand Music Month and you reached out with your latest track. What's been happening since we last saw you?
Yes, it's been awesome since we've seen each other last. A couple highlights. I opened for the lovely Jenny Smith for a tour. She was in the studio with us. I did my first headline show for the year. A big fan. Other than that, been looking forward to my new releases coming up and the one that I just released now for New Zealand Music Month. I've been loving what everyone else has been putting out as well. It's been a really good year.
Fantastic. And did you meet Jenny here in the studio? Was that your first time you actually met her?
It was one of the times she brought bacon and he didn't.
Yeah. And now we've got him on the phone, so we can't hit him up for that either.
next time. But yeah, that was the first time we actually met in person, but we had been following each other's music for over a year online, and that was, funny enough, the first time that we actually got to meet each other in person.
That is so cool. So tell us about Ghost in Me. What's the inspiration behind this latest track?
Yeah, so Ghost in Me, that's about taking a night drive down an old dirt road and reminiscing about a past loved one. And you know how, like, sometimes when you break up with a person, you know, you quite can't let go of them and it's almost like their ghost is following you? So that's what the song is about.
Everyone in the studio is nodding in agreement. Okay, so, you know, we're going to ask you that awkward question again, Blake. Is this based on something that's happened in your life?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we won't ask the name of the ghost.
No, we'll unpack that next time he's in the studio.
Ah, that's brilliant. And what have you got coming up?
Yeah, I've got a couple other releases coming up. Hopefully, the idea is we can get an EP out before the end of the year and possibly getting a collaboration track as well, like a duet of some of sorts.
With Jenny Smith?
Possibly. I've got a couple different ideas lined up. Cool, exciting things going to be happening later this year.
That is fantastic. Well, thanks for sending us your latest track. We'll give it a play now, and you have a fabulous rest of your Sunday night.
Awesome, you guys.
Thanks,
too.
Blake.
Thank you.
Awesome. Here is Ghost in Me from Blake.
Late nights on an old dirt road, stars ahead but they don't glow. Thinking about the days when you were mine, dust in the wind like the sands of time. We'd laugh and sing by the riverside, your hand in mine, but that was all a lie. Life has a way of changing plans, now I'm here alone, just a broken man. Flows of water sometimes fade, leaves a mark that never goes away. Whiskey's my companion in the night. Said you love me forever, right? I drive these roads to clear my mind, Every turn takes me back in time to when we were wild and free. Now it's just the ghost in me. I light a cigarette and watched it burn. Guess there's some lessons you never learn. So I forget and leave you behind, but your ghost is still in my mind. Sometimes fades, leaves a mark that never goes away. Whiskey's my companion in the night. You said you'd love me forever. I hear life in the midnight air. I turn around, but you're never there. The past is something I can't fight. You're just a shadow haunting every night. Love's a fire that sometimes fades. That never goes away. Whiskey's my companion in the night. You said you love me forever, right? Right.
Do you know what I love, Stephen, about Blake's music?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of got that a little bit of that country twang, but it's that pop sound as well. Like, it's quite a fusion of sounds, which I love. It's just so easy to listen to.
Oh, he's got a bright future ahead.
Yeah.
Absolute bright future ahead.
Oh, and he's so good at promoting himself.
Yeah. Good on you, Blake. Great to have you on. Welcome, Emma. You and I have had a crazy time.
It's always a crazy time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the craziest time we had, though.
Yeah.
Trying to help people score points at Laser Kiwi on Thursday night.
Wasn't that fun?
It was such a good show. Like, what a cool show.
Yeah, very cool. Very different. Very different part of the Comedy Fest. Mm. Yeah, good on them. And nice to see them in person, because we chatted to them on the phone several times over the years.
Mm.
You've just got back from, was it Invercargill or Queenstown or somewhere down that way?
No, Queenstown.
Queenstown.
Yeah, so I jumped down. I went to a Music Theatre New Zealand Zone 5 meeting in Cromwell, and then I had 12 hours of rehearsals with the students from Wakatipu High School for their season of Hadestown. And last night, I went to the closing night of Showbiz Queenstown's 9 to 5, the musical.
Ah, was that great?
Oh my God, it was so good.
I still haven't seen it. So I've got to say.
So good. Manukau Performing Arts are going to be doing it at the end of the year. They're currently looking for a director, a musical director, a choreographer. Expressions close at the end of the month. There's my shout out for Manukau.
Is that a big show to try and fit on that stage, though?
I think it would work quite well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the way that they did it in Queenstown, it was all done with LED lights in grids on the back wall and the roof. And then only certain parts of that would light up, depending. And then they had these globes that kept coming in, depending on which house they were in. A different globe kind of came in. It was so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, shall we chat to our fabulous guest here?
I think we should.
Celebrating 35 years.
That's crazy.
I don't think it's these two personally. They don't look old enough. But
no, neither of them look 35.
Massive theatre company. Certainly been in around you and I for our whole sort of career journey as well. A big welcome to Ebony and Tane. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's lovely to have you both here. And look, kick it off first. What's your involvement with Massive Theatre?
Yeah, it's, I've been with Massive since the end of 2022. I saw the emerging artist show of that year, What We're Made Of, and I'd worked with the director in my second year show, and so I went up to him and I was like, how do I become a part of that? And then he was like, go join the Massive Noi Ensemble, and then you can audition and go from there. And so I did all of that. So I've been a part of Massive in pretty much every single way you can be.
Brilliant.
I've been a part of them as an actor, as a director in training, as a teacher. I worked in their marketing department a couple years ago. Just kind of all across it, however
cool.
I can.
That's cool. And Ebony, you similar?
Yeah, I've been with Massive for quite a long time. I joined with them when I was 15 years old. I did my first workshop in Auckland, one of their foundation ones. I absolutely loved it. I went the next year again and I asked if I could be a part of Massive Noi Ensemble. We call it MNE. It's a training program for emerging artists between the ages of 15 to now 30. And I was with Massive Noi Ensemble with Tane. I was with them for nearly 10 years. That's where I got my training as an actor. I've been a part of two of their emerging artist shows, one in 2017, which was Chance to Ignite, one in 2018, which was Sightings. I've been assistant director for them in their show Babel, which was a South Auckland project that we did with high schools there.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we only got two shows for that one because that was COVID time, so we had to close it. And I was also director of Heart Go Boom, which Tane was a part of as well. Now I work for them as a teaching artist. I work around the North Island going into high schools teaching Massive physical theatre workshops. I teach foundation workshops, which is emerging artist age. I'm now teaching the essentials workshops, which are for people 20 plus years. And I'm also now a part of this year's Director's Lab, which is training to be a director.
Fantastic.
So cool.
So if someone's listening doesn't know about Massive Theatre, how would you, you know, you just mentioned all the different things that you're doing. How would you describe Massive Theatre to, say, a young high school teenager looking at coming out into the arts?
Energetic.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, but no, well, we're a company that makes original works. So like all of our stuff is from us. You know, we're not doing Shakespeare or anything like that. We do commission writers every now and then to write shows for us, but it all comes from our own experiences and our own stories. We're very physical. Everything that we make comes from exercises or provocations that have us, you know, running around and working with each other very physically and just making from those kind of points of view. And then, yeah, it turns into a very energetic, very heartfelt, very kind of striking work, I would say.
Yeah, that's cool. And Sam Scott, as we know, I was going to say Samantha, but I think everyone knows is Sam Scott, founder and still heavily involved today.
Yeah,
Sam is still always around. Sam's teaching, she's directing shows. She is the absolute heart and soul of Massive. She started the company in, I think it was 1991. It was called Maidment Youth Theatre at the time, and then she changed the name to Massive. But Sam is still around.
I miss the Maidment Theatre, though. Don't you miss? Did you ever perform in the Maidment Theatre, or you're too young? Oh my gosh!
No, I never got to perform there.
It was a cool little space for things. It was a cool space. Shush. What do you think contributes to the success of Massive? Why is it still survived 35 years?
I think because it's like a whānau. Like we always say, once you've been in the circle at the beginning of a workshop or anything like that, you're part of the Massive family. And people keep coming back. People that were part of the company as teenagers back in the 2000s or the 90s are coming back, you know, in their 30s or in their 40s to teach or direct or still perform with Massive in their professional shows. So I think it's just like it extends beyond just a kind of working relationship where we're always sharing kai and playing games and hanging out, and it just kind of builds on itself.
I always loved with Massive, you know, the whole ethos of, you started with a game. The four square was set up and it didn't matter who was late to class. The game was started and you just joined in. There was no waiting for everyone to arrive. There was energy from the moment class or rehearsal started, you know. And I think it's such a good training in that sense of discipline as well. Like, I remember Sam coming into a school a few times and students used to actually be really scared of Sam.
Yeah.
You know, but she was the discipline. It was so good. And, you know, how many times did you have to run and touch four things blue, hit the ground, stand up, do this, do that. And, you know, the kids would be sweating up a storm. That'd be, love it.
I think that's something that is really unique and special to Massive Company. Because when you've grown up from a teenager working like that, we've built this incredible amount of discipline. And we work really hard at Massive. That's something that Sam and also our other mentors and directors have really trained into us. And when you go elsewhere, it can sometimes be a bit disappointing that you don't get to work that hard. But I think that is one of the main reasons why Massive has been going for so long is because they have trained and developed people to be hard workers, and we all want to give back to that. Like, I got my training for free as an actor, and training is incredibly expensive if you go to a tertiary education. We get that training from people who have come from those educations, so it's really special, and we want to come back. We want to give back. A lot of the actors and directors at Massive come back and they work as a teaching artist, as a director. They want to work in professional shows, so we have this incredible ethos of people. I think something else that's really special about Massive is they're very honest, and we make work that is relevant to the world, to Aotearoa, and to people. And I think that's one thing that keeps us going, is we only make new work. We reflect back and be a mirror to what's going on around us right now. And I think that's that just drives us and pushes our work forward. That, it can't die.
I think what's really special too, like, here I am sounding like I'm part of Massive Company, but I did write some of the education packs for Massive Company for a few years.
Well, there you go.
I'm part of it, kind of. I've done lots of workshops with you too. But I think what's really cool is how much you teach educators. And the amount of people that teach drama in schools that use Massive Company techniques, games, ways of devising. I mean, the work that comes out of the way you work is just so real, raw, real, and like you said, in touch with what's going on, you know. And I think that a lot of it's because of the way that you structure everything that you get that. Whereas if you do it in other ways, you just don't get the same grit.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, I remember saying at a workshop once of that Massive builds the, like, the fun of rigor, of, like, of working hard, and that leads into then, like, the rigor of fun, where, like, you've worked, like, real hard out for all of these days, making stuff or whatever, and then that allows you to just, like, play and have fun with each other, and then the work just kind of emerges from there.
Do you have a favourite memory from your own times there?
I think playing charades is one of my favourite things at Massive, especially during some of the Massive Nui Ensemble terms. You're in teams throughout the term, so you're earning points for your team throughout those weeks, and you want to win, and being kind of at the end of a term, and we were able to bet points. And so we pretty much bet all of our points on this one game of charades and managed to win. And that was just like an absolute moment of victory for us. It was awesome.
Oh, I love that.
That's cool.
My favourite memory that I can think of was working on a show called Sightings. It was just such an amazing experience to be a young actor. I was studying at the time. I was at university, and just having the opportunity to work in a professional environment as an actor. We were doing a written show. It was written by three women, Fiona Graham, Denise Su'a, and Miriama McDowell. And I'd never worked on a scripted play in a physical way before, in a devised way. So it was a new form of theatre to me. And it was just an amazing experience. We got to tour it up to Whangarei. We did a season in Tamaki Makaurau. And the content was quite potent for me as a young person. We were speaking about a girl who had been spiked. Like, all of these three girls were going through quite a lot at the same age as us. So it was really, it was really amazing to be a part of that.
Brilliant.
I think what's really cool too, like, I'm on the Our People page at the moment on the Massive Company website, which is a great website. So go and check it out, everybody.
Yes.
But man, you look at those faces. You look at who is in that lineup, you know, and we're talking about, I mean, Shortland Street from years and years and years ago. But, yeah, people like Miriama, who, oh, my God, what hasn't she done? And with, you know, Pop-Up Globe and all the Shakespeare beautiful stuff that Alison Bruce, you know, the names Max. I mean, there's just so many faces there. And I think what I really love too is you can see every face in this place, in the sense of, like, there's so many cultures represented here too, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
That there are so many faces here of all different, And Denise is such a beautiful person too.
And are you both now still practicing in the arts apart from what you do with Massive?
Yeah. So Massive kind of was the training ground for, like, my directing and my acting, and so I also make my own work. And so the skills from Massive that I learned and my skills from uni, I now implement, in making my own stuff out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work as an artist all around as well. I studied at university and I did a classical music degree. I studied voice. So I like to do singing, classical, but I also do musical theatre, acting. I've just performed in the comedy festival for a children's theatre show. Work as an actor, voice actor. I've just recently started doing some voice work in drum and bass, which I'm kind of wanting to start doing a bit more, getting into That's DJ cool. and music producing. I teach a lot as well for other companies, and I'm really starting to get into my director's head as well.
Nice, good mix. All right, we're going to take a music break. Then after the break, we're going to talk about Homemade, which is the next Massive show coming up. The very talented Macy has released another track this week. It's called We Still Happened.
There's a river, always flows. No one can cross it on their own. Would you take me when you go? I'm sitting in this bar with you. You're asking me what I would do if it was our last night, just us two. Well, rivers rise and cities fall. Birds flee, where do they go? Said, oh my dear, just keep on breathing, 'cause we're all here and no one's leaving. The world will end, the stars will fade, but in the end we still happen. Of us will reach the edge of the universe, 'cause we still happen. We still happen. The odds were always stacked against you and me, were never meant. Don't think too hard, it won't make sense. So have a laugh and down your drink. We're just blowing in the wind. It's a little funny, don't you think? The rivers rise and cities fall. Oh, when birds flee, where do they go, darling? Oh my dear, just keep on breathing, 'cause we're all here, no one's leaving. The world will end, the stars will fade, but in the end, we still happen, echoes are.
ACW still happened, and a great music video up on YouTube, funded by New Zealand On Air. Go and check it out. It's very impressive. Great music. Now, you just mentioned before the music break, you know, opera and singing and musical theatre as well. Tane, are we opera singing in this corner as well?
Not trained.
No?
Maybe in the shower. very vocal in the shower.
Do you do musical theatre as well?
No. It's something I've always wanted to do at some point, but I'm not trained in any of that kind of stuff. I can carry a tune, but
that's all you need. Yeah. Okay, all right, cool. Now, they've got a show coming up, Homemade, which is on at Tapo Theatre in Henderson later in July, and then 116 in Whangarei. Tell us about Homemade.
Yeah, so Homemade is our emerging artist production this year. It's made with five young actors from the ages of 18 to 25. They've literally just started rehearsals yesterday. Okay.
So this is a devised process again.
Yep.
When you're working with a devised process, does it, like, I mean, the title Homemade, does it come in with a theme to kick it off? What's their sort of catalyst for devising?
Yeah, so the catalyst for this is the people and the places that we call home. So they've been doing some provocations over the last couple months about, you know, what is home to you? Who are people that feel like home? They were doing like paintings and taking photos, and then they've brought that all into the rehearsal room. And then the director, Denise Sewer, who was mentioned earlier, has been starting to put stuff together. So yeah, we had the blessing for the show yesterday at the Massive Space, which is really beautiful. Just whānau and friends were there to help open the space and just kind of give our well wishes to the group and to the process. So yeah, it's looking really exciting.
That's cool. How much does the director, I guess, get involved in the devising versus the participants? Like, is the director trying to weave the journey together, or can go, actually, we've gone miles off track, guys, this is where we need to head? Like, where does that work?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the director and what their style is. Denise is an incredible, incredible artist, and she has great vision for what she wants to do. But how Massive works is we do come with what Tanya was talking about, these provocations. So we do a lot of writing, we do a lot of making. They will come back and they shared it yesterday and today. They'll share all of their provocations that they came up with, and then I'm sure Denise will go away and would have recorded what they responded with. Each cast member probably usually takes about an hour to share everything back that they've been doing over the past few months. She'll go away probably this week and she'll collate it all together. And she'll start pulling out themes that's coming out. Where do I want to hone into? What do I want to zoom up into? And then she'll say, I'm interested in this thing you said or spoke about. Can you make this out of it? And then she might do a physical exercise that has got something to do with a piece of music or a poem that someone wrote. And it's really about honing in, fleshing out, layering. And it takes months. But I think Denise has really got a key idea in her head. But again, yeah, it really depends what the director wants. I know when Jesmine, my co-director, and I, we were quite involved with the process, but we wanted our actors to really come with what they had and let them have the opportunity to flesh their ideas out and then just kind of tweak it and say, what about this? What about this? It was more about asking questions. That's what we like to do at Massive, is provoke them and ask questions about what is it for them and see where that goes. It's not something that we can be pushed.
Have you ever abandoned ship, like get halfway through a process and go, okay guys, we're keeping the theme but we're starting again, like this just isn't gelling or working?
Yes.
Yeah?
Good. Yes, absolutely. Good. And it's happened a couple times in Massive Noi Ensemble showings. It happened once in a show that I did, Chance to Ignite. We were in Kakatsu doing an interview about 5 years ago, and we got to about 2 weeks before opening night and we completely jumped ship and we went, this isn't working, let's try something else. And we did, and we created something in 2 weeks. We used a little bit of stuff that we had, but we just had to go, this isn't working, let's make something else. And we did, and we did it for the first time on opening night.
Brilliant. But that's often some of the best work, when it's at its freshness. But I think it's important to recognise when something just isn't working.
Yes.
And everyone in the group often can feel it.
Yes.
And that's not going to create good theatre.
That's
no.
right.
Yeah. No. Okay, cool. So, what is home to you then, Tane? If we look at the theme, what is home to you and where is home to you?
I think home to me looks like a couch. Yeah. I always think about going around to my siblings' places. All of my family lives in Christchurch.
Right.
So I moved up to Auckland for study and work. So home is kind of in two places. One is Ōtautahi, where all my family is, on their couches when I go and stay with them or look after the nieces and nephews, or I'm around for dinner or playing board games. And then the other half is being at home up here, like with my partner and my flatmates. We've all been mates for like... oh, 5+ years. So that's kind of...
What a great piece of theatre, though. It just starts, the lights come up on a couch, you know, and just, you know, I love that. What is home to you? A couch. Yeah,
I'd say it's just that act of, you know, sitting together or, you know, getting home after work and lying down on, it's just like, that's the place I go to.
But I think you highlighted something there too. As an artist, home often is on the road and moving and changing. You know, you can always go back to home, which might be where family is, mm-hmm. or, you know, parents, etc. But the arts world is a couch, a motel, a hotel, a friend's, an Airbnb. That's the nature of it. Yeah. What about you, Ebony? What does home mean to you?
Yeah, I think home for me is less a physical place and it's more... in my heart and in my head. I'm quite an internal person, and I don't like to rely on external factors for me to feel safe and comfy and at home. So for me, home is just alone with myself, and if it is in a physical place, I love the beach. Like, anywhere I am, if I want to feel at home, I will go to the beach, I'll look at the moana, I'll touch the moana, and just be with myself. And that's where I feel at home, is if I'm okay here, I've got myself and I'll be okay.
Nice. I like that. Are you involved in this upcoming production at all or in any way other than just supporting it?
No, just supporting it, which is quite strange. The last couple of shows, I was working in the marketing department, or my assistant directed the 2024 Emerging Artist Show, Te Ao Ho. But my mates are in it, so I'll be supporting... from the sidelines, I guess, or when they get home or when I see them, but not in the room with them.
Okay. Yeah, I think at Massive as well, it's a process where a lot of people get involved at different times.
Yeah.
When we make work at Massive, we love to show back work, because at the core of Massive, when we make work for the audience. We make it for other people. So we always want to show back work to people. If it's something that we're making about a certain type of person, we want to get them in the room. We want them to see it. Even if it's not... theatre people, whatever that is, if it's not a director, we just want someone to say, what does this make you think about? What are you thinking? What are you questioning? What is it provoking in you? Because that's why we're doing it. We're making theatre for people, for an audience. And it's nothing that we ever want people to get something. We want people just to sit in it and think about whatever it makes them think about. So that's what I'll do. I'll go into rehearsals and I'll watch it, share back what I think, or any of my thought processes, things like that. But we have an incredible team working on the show. The five actors are all incredible. They've all trained with Massive for the past few years. We have an incredible composer, Harmony Hogarth, who's done quite a few of our shows now, making our music, so all original music from her. Denise Stewart, again, she started with Massive when she was a teenager. She trained with us as an actor and now has gone on to directing, and she's come back. Lighting designer as well, Jane Hakaraya, who's done so much work in Aotearoa as a technician. And we also have an incredible costume designer, Lauren Miller. So we've got a pretty mean team.
Good team. And how many different shows a year does Massive do?
Generally, we always like to do one emerging artist show a year and one professional show every year or 2 years. However, everyone in the arts know funding is quite tough at the moment. So unfortunately, we've only been able to do one show every 2 years. So we'll just have the emerging artist show Homemade this year. We have another professional show coming up that's being written at the moment.
Yeah, it's in development.
In development, and hopefully we're going to be bringing back a show called I Love You G, which premiered last year. Two years ago. So we're going to bring I Love You G back hopefully next year or the year after, if funding allows.
And when you do a professional show, do you open it to anyone to audition, or just past part of the Massive family?
I think it's a situation dependent. Some shows they've auditioned people for the likes of I Love You G. That was the three boys, Neil, Beulah and Dom. going to Sam and going, oh, we want to make a show.
Oh, that's cool.
About our friendship and about our story, because they all came up through Massive together in their teen years. They did a show called The Brave in the early 2010s that toured all over, and then, yeah, this event happened in their friendship and they wanted to make the show about it. Mm-hmm. So in that case, that was kind of cut and dry, where they were like, it's us three, we're telling the story. But in other instances, like Half of the Sky and things like that, I know there are auditions and things. So it just depends on what the piece is about what the piece kind of spawns from.
Homemade was auditioned. It was open audition, but all five of the actors have come from Massive Noi Ensemble, and it's just simply because it's such an advantage if you've trained with the company. Mm. You know our co-pupper, you know how it works, and it's just such a huge advantage in an audition room when you have this language, because at Massive we really do have a language of how we like to work.
And like a culture too. Like I was just thinking what you were asking about how we are connected to the show, and I was like, oh yeah, well I'll be going into rehearsals to watch some. The door is always open, and that same way, once you're part of the circle, you're a part of the whānau, that is extended to rehearsals and meetings or blessings or whatever's happening at Massive. The door's always open.
Nice, love it. Alright, so a couple of minutes to go, talking about your futures now, what's the dream role? You know, a producer walks in the door and says, hey, I'd love you to do, would it be directing, acting, singing, opera, what is it, what's that dream role that you'd love to do?
Yeah, I think mine would be quite ambitious. I think they would come into the room and they go, what do you want? And I would go, I want a space and I want some money.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to run a company from there.
Nice.
That helps those artists that have just left drama school or are coming up through the industry and they're like, I want to make a show, I don't know how. That they could come through those doors and we go, mean, we're here to help you put that on. We've got gear, we've got lights, we've got sound, we've got everything you need.
Yeah.
We've got mentorship. Come and have a play.
Fantastic.
Be able to bring people up through that way. So less of me performing and more
facilitating. Helping, totally. I love it. All right. So you need a funder to walk in the door more than anything.
Just any funders listening.
Give you a building and some money to make it all happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Ebony, what about you?
Yeah, that's honestly such a tough question because I feel like me personally as an artist, I have my finger in so many different pies. I just don't really get to ask myself that question because you're so used to having to be in everything, if that makes sense. But I guess for me, it would be, I would love to work on a large scale musical, in a lead role. And I would love to have a good chunky season. I think in Aotearoa, we don't really get the opportunity to have these big chunky seasons. I would love the opportunity to tour something nationally or internationally for a good amount of time, like a few months or even a year or something like that. That would be amazing to hold that.
Awesome. Putting it out there. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on a Sunday night. A massive congratulations to Sam and all the team at Massive on 35 years. Go and support them by checking out Homemade at Te Pō in 23rd and 24th of July or 116 in Whangarei from 30 and 31st of July. Head to massivecompany.co.nz for all the details. All the best, guys. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's awesome. All right. We're heading out to a music break as we head to the Coromandel. Next, here's Drax Project with 24/7.
Let me know when you get it. I'm really a goddess at table. I wonder if you'll look as good as the other night. You and I left my head since. Turn around when you're ready. Wish you could see how I see you. You only were there for a second, and now you're in my head 24/7. And every time you ask me again, finding what I said. And every time I'm alone in my head, I know it doesn't make any sense. Me back when you see it.
Cause I want you near 24/7 ways. And every time you ask me again if I'm in what I said, and every time I'm alone in my head, I know it doesn't make any sense. Every time, and I want you constant. Every time, now all I want is you. Every time, I want you on my conscience. So let me love you constant. All I ever want is you every time.
Drax Project 24/7. And you need to know that sound at the end. You need to watch the music video. So jump onto YouTube and check it out as he crashes his car at the end of the video. Now we're heading to the Coromandel now to chat with Dylan, who is about to release, or has, sorry, released his long-awaited 7th album. Singer, wow, songwriter and guitarist, Dylan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
7 albums. You've been around a while, mate.
I have.
So take us back. When did it all kick off for you? When was that first time music hit your world?
Oh, when did music first hit my world? Probably before I was born.
Right.
I come from musical parents, and, you know, I grew up with music around. My dad was a guitar player. My mum and dad had a band in the 70s, and I grew up through that. As a child, you know, and then, yeah, so music's been a part of my life since I can remember.
And you've passed that on to your own children.
That's right. North Beach has been on your show.
Yeah.
And, that's how we met you guys, and, yeah.
And we're going to play one of Noor's songs a little later on, just to say thank you for getting you on here tonight. But so tell us, how much have you noticed your music change over the years? If we were to play your first album versus your 7th, you know, what are we hearing different?
Yeah, well, I guess the first album I did was with a band called Castle Rock. That was our first recording experience as a band, as a full album. I'd done bits and pieces before then. And that was all reel-to-reel in a studio on the Coromandel that's not there anymore. And that was very much band stuff. So over the years, I've sort of been more focused as being a singer-songwriter, and, you know, so much has happened. I've had children, and, you know, I've travelled around the world playing music in different places and had so many different amazing musical experiences with different bandmates, and, you know, I've been to some incredible festivals and seen some amazing shows. Yeah, so much has happened since then. Yeah.
And do you draw from your life experiences when you're writing your music?
Yeah, I think that just happens naturally, as anyone would kind of who writes songs. I tend to think that's just sort of how we write, yeah, it's not necessarily an intellectual thought to draw on stuff, but stuff that moves me always, you know, it has to have that, you know, have a reason to write something, and yeah, I like to write songs that are kind of, yeah, that have some kind of meaning lyrically, and I love guitar music of all kinds, so yeah, those are two big factors in my life as a musician.
That's cool. What have you noticed has changed in the setting of who listens to you these days and how they listen? I mean, you've had quite a journey there, and I bet you your listenership has changed.
Yeah, well, it's a good question, you know. I haven't put too much thought into that when I'm playing live, but I choose different places to play than I used to. So when in my 20s and, you know, when we were a touring band, we'd tour around the South Island a lot and you know, Coromandel and sometimes to Auckland and other cities. But it was very much pubs were the place to play and festivals. Those were the two things that happened. And back in those days, everyone was smoking and drinking. It was kind of horrible, really. Mm. But that was just what we had as a apart from doing hall gigs and things like that, as a young, rocking, funky blues band, that was sort of what we did. But I really don't like being around smokers or drinkers these days so much, you know. Although I will play in bars if it's a good venue, but yeah, generally I like to play concerts or special events, house concerts, you know, theatres or festivals sometimes.
Fair enough. So tell us about your latest album, The Light. How long has this been sort of in the making?
It's been in the making for quite a while. I actually did a master's degree 2018, and that was the initial sort of deadline that I worked to. And I went in with a cool band that I had been playing with for a while, the drummer I'd been playing with for over 10 years. Him and a bass player and myself went into Roundhead, quite close to where you are at Kick Arts, Neil Finn's studio up there in Newton. And we spent 2 days recording a whole bunch of songs. So it's a very live album. There's not a lot of post-production editing happening. There is other guests added in afterwards. What was the question again?
Well, I was just curious how long it took to make, but you've answered that. So is there a theme to the tracks in this album?
Well, I mean, there is, and I didn't answer it fully. That was kind of in 2018, as I said, so it only got released this year. And we did a lot of picking up other people and getting their parts in post-production with the same engineer I worked with. And the theme for me is, you know, it developed its own theme as the right songs came into place, and I think, you know, if there was an overall theme of the album, The Light is the theme. There's two songs on there. One's called Into the Light and another song is called Eternal Mystery. They're quite different tracks. One's very rocky and one's very, very acoustic folky, and yeah, I think that's something about the light, shedding light on things that I think need to be heard.
Nice. Now, given how long this album's taken, have you started working on your next one yet?
Well, in a lot of ways, the songs, I'm always writing stuff. So I'm not really a musician that sits on my home studio like a lot of people do these days. I'm coming from an old school place of, you know, most of my albums we've gone in and done live sessions and then added bits in afterwards. So, you know, the songs are there and there's, you know, I'm chipping away at them. Some of them are from the sessions for the previous album, but others are new. So that would be where I'm at right now, writing stuff for the next album.
Now, you're a musical family, as we said earlier in the interview. So is there a track coming out with both you and your daughter together?
Well, it depends on if she asks me.
We usually
ask each other. She is a sit-at-home studio. You know, she sits on her laptop with her interface, and she's recording stuff quite frequently. I think her next album is going to be a little bit more live rock. Maybe not rock, but more band-orientated.
Oh.
So there's a chance that I will get to play on that. We do play together quite a bit. We just had a practice yesterday with a drummer. the three of us working on doing some shows coming up in the next few months.
Nice. Now, our previous guests tonight from Massive Theatre Company are doing a show sort of based around the theme of what is home to you. So I'm going to ask all our guests tonight, what does home mean to you?
Home means where I am right now.
Yeah.
With my family. And at this time of the year, it's cozy, fireside. We're about to watch a movie together. Mm. And we are very home-based as a family. So it's just having that sanctuary that feels good to be at. And, you know, we spend a lot of time at home, so we are so busy at home. Home is like, there's never enough hours in the day. But home is this sort of multiple use space that we all get our recharging from.
That's cool. I've spoken to a few people lately who have mentioned the Sunday night family movie or the Sunday night board games or whatever, and a couple of parents that have said, you know, our teenagers are busy and they're out and they're in and out with technology and relationships and all that, but they've set that rule of Sunday night, we all put it away and we either watch a movie or we go to the movies or we simply play a game of Monopoly, but it's become that let's just reconnect without technology moment. And I love that.
Yeah. Sounds really good. Yeah.
So we're going to play your track, Freedom, to close the interview. Tell us about this track.
Right. So this song, I wrote it sometime in the around 2015, maybe a little earlier, 2014. And the initial kind of lyrical content came from me just looking out at the kind of establishment of the world and how there's so much kind of bizarre, what I would consider quite corrupt systems in place. Mm. And I kind of wrote it as a kind of a protest to that and also as a kind of a maybe a reminder to people of how kind of it's so easy to get hypnotized by that and entrenched in this system that we think is maybe great but maybe isn't that great.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to take a listen. Thanks so much for joining us on a Sunday night. Good luck. I hope the album is a huge success, and hopefully we'll talk to you in the not-so-distant future about your next album, and we won't have to wait too many years. No pressure.
That'll be great. And if anyone wants to find the album, it's just come out on Spotify and all the platforms under Dylan Wade. The Light is the album. And it's also on Bandcamp. If you type in the words Dylan in capital letters and The Light, it should pop up.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dylan. And say hello to Noor. We'll be playing her song a little later in the show.
Cool. What song are you choosing of hers?
It's got to be Momentum. That's one of my favourites.
Awesome.
All right. You have a good night. Here is Freedom from Dylan.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Taught to behave in schools where all slaves misbehave and you're out on your own. Truth is, we've always been on our own, but we're not alone. Can you survive off the grid? Can you survive off the net? Can you survive off your phone if the network goes down? Will you swim or will you drown? We're talking about freedom. Thinking about freedom. Talking about freedom. Thinking about freedom. Talking about freedom. Thinking about freedom.
Thinking about freedom.
Talking about freedom.
Talk about freedom.
Thinking about freedom.
Think about freedom.
What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to be free? Slaves think they're free, they'll work hard, and you see.
tricked and deceived since long before we were born. Cutting the tulip poppies down as they emerge above the ground, above the crowds who work so hard for the masters of war. Who are you? Who are you working for? Working for? We talk about freedom. Think about freedom. Talking about freedom.
Talking about freedom.
Think about freedom. We're chained to the land, to our homes and house. Yeah, what does it mean to be free? Whatever it is we feel we're striving for, living for, working for, dying for. What's it for? What's it for? What's it for? Relationships, family, spirituality, philosophy, ideology, theology. What's it mean? Your own version of reality. What's it mean to be free? What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean?
What does it mean to be free?
Freedom, Dylan. It'd be a really cool musical family, I reckon, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And the idea of being in front of a fire watching a movie right now is actually quite enticing.
Because you just flew in from Queenstown, which you said when we chatted on the phone this morning was really cold.
Yeah, so it was someone said that it was like a minus two or something yesterday morning. Everything was frosted. The frost on the windscreen was thick. Wow. It was thick and the grass was all crunchy to walk on.
Because here in Auckland, it's just been the most beautiful couple of weeks. It's been cold, but just gorgeous weather.
I think the thing is, though, with the South Island, and I always say this to people, it feels freezing cold, but it's the kind of cold that you can put something on and you feel okay. And it burns off.
Right.
And, like, by lunchtime today, it was beautiful.
Okay. As opposed to Wellington, you can be out in that cold and you can put five layers on and it still whips through.
Yep.
All right, it's time now to catch up with our author this week. And welcoming back to Kick Arts is Riley Chance, whose last novel, Weeping Angels, was shortlisted for the New Zealand Book Lovers Best Fiction Book for 2025. He's always passionate about giving readers a fast-paced, page-turning novel, and this will be no exception as we're chatting about his latest book, The Target. Welcome back, Riley.
Kia ora, thank you for having me on.
Great, and congratulations on being shortlisted last year. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was. That was a thrill. I mean, it'd be hard to come by, so...
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, tell us, what is The Target all about?
Right, so as you said, fast-paced thriller, that's sort of what it says on the tin, and that's what it is. But with all my books, there's an underlying social theme. And this one, it's the trade union movement, one of the things that we don't talk about a lot. They've sort of, you know, been pushed away over the last sort of 20, 30 years. So what I did was I took the 1984 Trades Hall bombing. I don't know whether you can remember that. Some people know it, remember it very well, and some people don't know it at all. And I've recreated it into the contemporary times, and the thriller sets around that sort of what happens after that. So,
ooh, what made you go down that path?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always been fascinated by the Trades Hall bombing, the fact that it's still unsolved, even though there was, you know, quite a lot of evidence that seemed to point to a particular person. And the other aspect, which I think is really important, is that there was a political narrative at the time that was very anti-union, and arguably that was, it kind of set off someone to leave the bomb behind. And it's just that sort of thing. When politicians say things, it really matters. It can make things happen. And we've got an election coming up, what they say is important we listen to make sure that we're thinking about these things.
So when you say that the Trades Hall bombing was sort of left, no one was sort of prosecuted for it, what about your book? Does it have a bit more of a conclusion in your book, or do you leave us hanging at the end?
I can't say that.
Worth a try.
That's part of it. But also, the way it's written, it's not the bombing is, so the thriller, there's an ulterior motive in this attack, but it uses that sort of, how that political narrative. So I've recreated a sort of a New Zealand coming up to election where the unions are being blamed for the economic woes of the country. So that's my sort of fictitious New Zealand setting. Mm. And so, you know, these things can happen in that, and it can appear to be, yes, we know what's going on here, but do we? That's the twist, if you like.
Now, you've got quite a fascination with, you know, government and unions and history. I mean, I love that your bio says that when your headspace allows, you widely listen to audiobooks, attempts DIY, hits a small white ball and follows politics closely, and are often found in Parliament Speaker's Gallery.
Yes, I do. One of those, my guilty secrets of when I can get to Wellington, I can, Christian Time, which is on at 2 o'clock, is always fun because it's, most people are in the house, most politicians are, and there's a lot of back and forth, if you like, and partly it is, this is where our laws are formed, so when the accommodation supplements change or the foreign policy changes, this is where the debates happen, so I find that a bit fascinating.
We're just losing you a little bit. I'm not sure if your phone's moving away, but just dropping in and out there a little bit there. Are you already in the midst of writing your next book?
I am indeed. I was just editing it now, as you called. So,
do we get any previews or topic discussions?
Yeah, absolutely. So this one I've decided to, I've set it in 2048, so in New Zealand society in 2048. So the fun part of that is to try and imagine what New Zealand would look like it's only, 22 years' time, but I think society might be similar but different, if you like. So, and it's looking at a cold case set back in our time now. So I can sort of play with, the future and the current.
Nice. And with your Weeping Angels, what was sort of the feedback from that?
Oh, it was really positive. People who read it, I remember reading one review that said it was one of the most important New Zealand books written that year. So, because domestic violence, that was the social theme to that, is something that we don't often talk about. And New Zealand has one of the worst records in the OECD for intimate partner violence. And so, the people who read it and got in touch, they were, because it treated it in a way, so because it doesn't put it front and centre, it weaves it into the narrative of the story. So it sort of gently probes people to think about it rather than, you know, sort of in your face, if you like.
Mm. So take us back, Riley. When did you first sort of get this bug for writing?
I taught a course at university which was about how citizens can change society. And so it was a wonderful course to teach. I got to speak to 20 and 21-year-olds about how they saw society. And I realised I was still a story that I put up two pictures, and like the very first time I taught it, I put up two pictures. One was of the Tiananmen Square when that one person stood in front of the tanks. Mm. And the second one was the Springbok tour in 81 when the pitch was invading Hamilton and a whole group of people linked arms. And so one person can change the world, and, you know, it's much easier with a group. But the interesting thing was hardly anyone in the class knew anything about those two photos. And it just told me that there's a gap in the, you know, we have to sort of, to reach younger people, we have to do things differently. And that's where the idea of writing, you know, sort of came to me.
Mm, okay, fair enough. And who are you reading at the moment?
This sounds a little bit, what's the word for it? But I've been reading a little bit of Kafka, who wrote in about the 1920s and 30s about just sort of unfathomable democracy and how you have, bureaucracy, and how you, and navigating it becomes an impossible task. And I just found it quite fascinating. It's very hard to read, but it is very interesting to think that, mm-hmm. you know, where are we, you know, 90 years later, and things are very similar.
Absolutely. When it comes to your writing style, like, what's your process for writing your books? Are you somebody that just sort of head down, get it done, or does it get drip-fed over time? Is there lots on the cutting room floor? What does it look like?
Yeah. So what I do is I set myself the task of writing every day for 3 months, aiming for 500 to 800 words. And so at the end of 3 months, that gives me about 80,000 words. And that's sort of, I don't worry too much about, I let the characters take the book where they want to, I let the events, you know, swirl around. So a lot of that will end up on the cutting floor, but it gives you that sort of framework. You've got a story there, it's very imperfect, but you can build on it. So that's the sort of, that's the discipline, I guess, to just carry on and get the words down each day. And I'll have a little spreadsheet that tells me, oh no, you know, you've only done 250, so keep going. Yeah.
Fair enough. How can people get in touch with you, follow you, track your books down?
So website rileychance.com, all the information about how you can get hold of the books there. Ebooks available. I mean, I love the fact that my books are in public libraries. And if there's librarians out there listening who think I haven't heard of Riley Chance, then there are a lot of libraries, not all, but please feel free to grab them. Bruce McKenzie Booksellers, which is one of the ones I know stocks my books, they're online as well. But if you just head to rileychance.com, all of that information about how you can get hold of, and you can drop me a message as well. There's you know, all the contact forms you need there.
Brilliant. And who do you think the target will appeal to most?
Well, I just hope it appeals to people who just like reading thrillers. So it's that broad brush of society, you know, and that way people who haven't heard of the Traitor Bombing will get introduced to it. People who know all about it will be, you know, reacquainted with it, if you like. So, yeah, just people who go to the bookstore and go to the thriller section, that's the sort of people that I'm aiming for.
Brilliant. Awesome. All right, well, thanks for giving up some time on a Sunday night to talk about The Target. Go and support now and head to Riley's website. Thanks so much for your time.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. We'll take a music break now. We mentioned before when we were chatting to Dylan about his daughter, Noor Peach, that's released some music. Here it is with Momentum.
Can't feel the ground beneath my feet. Can't see the trees rushing by. Can't feel the wind against my skin. Can't see the colors in the sky. My heart is pounding in my chest. I'm getting closer to the edge, to where the ground fall away beneath my feet. and I am gathering momentum, gonna fall. And I am gathering momentum, gonna fall. Take this spot of ground, take these wings I found, face the sky. Don't hesitate to take a chance. There's no turning back now. And though my body may pass away, my love will never ever die. I'll live on in the fire in the sky. And I'm gathering momentum, gonna fall. And I'm gathering momentum, gonna fall. Feel the ground beneath my feet, can't see the trees rushing by, can't feel the wind against my skin, can't see the colours in the sky.
Nor Peach with Momentum. Talented family, lots of great music coming out of that house.
Definitely.
Now, the theatre list is in. Emma, what's coming up at this week?
So, Play Fight with Silo Theatre, Under Their Tree, 15-year-olds Kiara Zinnibar and Lucy navigate friendship, desire and shame as they grow into adulthood. The starts with a game and a dead possum and ends up with someone getting hurt. Ooh. It is a blinding sucker punch of a play. Explores what happens when no one teaches you to look after yourself, leaving you to figure it out with your friends, your instincts and the internet. Ooh. So that's on currently from the 14th of May to the
30th
of May at Silo Hall in Auckland City. And you can find out, or get tickets, I should say, from iticket.co.nz.
Now, the Mischief Theatre Company has Book Club, live unscripted comedy where fiction gets personal. The audience creates a book title and actors bring it to life. Romance, adventure, share bloody murder, no one knows, least of all the actors. Sounds fun. Watch as fiction collides with members of the book club. It's on at the Vic in Devonport from the 21st and the 28th of May. Sorry, 2 days, 21st and 28th of May. Head to thevic.co.nz for more information.
Now, this one excites me. It's called Kiwi Yarns. Award-winning podcast host Brody Kane presents Kiwi Yarns live with special guests Tom Sainsbury and Anika Moa on the couch. New yarns and honest warts and all conversations happening on the 29th of May at Q Theatre. And you can get tickets from qtheatre.co.nz.
Now, Titirangi Theatre has a man for all seasons. Tudor England, the 1530s, the court of King Henry the 8th, hums with intrigue and quiet menace. Power shifts behind closed doors. Alliances are made and unmade in an instant. In this world, ambition is currency, and a single misstep can have catastrophic consequences. Boy, who wrote this media release? Robert Bolt's A Man for All Seasons tells this true story of Sir Thomas More, a man known for his integrity, caught in a time of political and religious upheaval. As the king demands loyalty at any cost, More is forced to choose between serving his monarch and staying true to his conscience. It is playing from the 2nd to the 13th of June at Titirangi Theatre at Loptal House. Head to nz.patronbase.com and look up Titirangi Theatre.
And a few weeks ago, we talked, of course, to Indian Ink Theatre Company about Balloon Dog, and that is opening on the 3rd of June to the 20th of June at Q Theatre as well. So Jacob Rajan is back on stage with the world premiere of Balloon Dog, a deeply affecting and timely new work inspired by one of India's most beloved stories. Created by Indian Ink's award-winning creative duo of Jacob and Justin, this production marks the 20th theatre work the pair have made since co-founding the company almost 30 years ago. My goodness, all these companies that are 30 plus is incredible. Lewis is directing, Rajan is on stage. Balloon Dog brings together humour, heart, live original music and pure theatrical magic. So get tickets from Q Theatre for that, again 3rd of June to the 20th.
Now, you might know a bit about this next one. Emma, Stage Antics are producing Hadestown Teen Edition, and they're on the show next week to chat about it. So tell us, Emma, what is Hadestown all about?
Well, it's actually a bit of a mix of... So it basically takes a myth and the gods of Persephone and Hades and their story, and then there's this timeless story. It's kind of a little bit, it's not really a Romeo and Juliet, is it? No, well, Orpheus and Eurydice, two young souls searching in the world to see where they belong. And the music is just absolutely stunning, the harmonies, the everything. And then these three crazy fates who happen to kind of just be watching everything that's going on, and a wise old Hermes that knows everything.
How many kids have you got in it?
So there are 29.
29, that's awesome, and it's playing at the Pump House from the 3rd to the 6th of June. Multiple performances, matinees, evenings, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so Wednesday night, Thursday night, we have a 4 o'clock showing on Friday with a student discount for high school students. We thought the 4 o'clock one was quite a good one. 8 o'clock on Friday, and then 2 o'clock on Saturday and 6:30 on Saturday.
Brilliant. All right, head to thepumphouse.co.nz for details on Hadestown, the teen edition, and we'll be chatting to some of the cast next week.
Yeah, and then Heather's the Musical, of course, is going to be hitting the Auckland stage on the 10th of June to the 14th. The global phenomenon, Heather's the Musical, which is making its professional premiere following a record-breaking season in London and New York. The high-octane black comedy rock musical based on the cult 1989 film starring Winona Ryder and Christian Slater. As I said, it's at Auckland at the Civic, and you can get tickets now from ticketmaster.co.nz.
Thank you, Theatre List. That's everything coming up through to June, and there's lots happening in July as well. If we head to our bulletins for you fabulous people that have emailed us at info@kickarts.org.nz, New Zealand Opera says don't miss your chance to see the greatest opera ever written, Mozart's masterpiece, The Marriage of Figaro. Year after year, BBC Music Magazine votes The Marriage of Figaro the greatest opera of all time. Ooh, very nice. And that, according to a poll of 172 of the world's greatest opera singers, which includes Placido Domingo and our very own Kiri Takanua, they say this is the best one. Well, it is playing in June for Wellington audiences on the 17th, 19th and 21st of June at the St. James Theatre in Wellington. Head to nzopera.co.nz for all the ticket information.
And critically acclaimed play Winnega, created by sister and brother the Moriarty family, very well known family, is touring in June to August, directed by their father Jim Moriarty, with dramaturg mother Helen Pesce-Otini. This is Tirako's presentation invites audience to consider their place within systems of power and what it means to be an active participant in civic life. Caught in the legislative machinery of the move-on orders, Connie, a young wahine Maori, finds herself in a police holding cell where everything is in question, her freedom, her future, and whether survival was even possible in today's political landscape. So, this premiered at the Kaimau Festival in 25 and was presented to hundreds of students in schools during 2025 and early 26, along with a tour with Takirua. In this new expanded version, Te Rākau are adding their Theta Marae flair, bringing more songs, more action, and more deeply important kōrero. The Lower North Island kicks off on the 19th of June in Ponaki. opening to with the new Wellington City Council Central Arts Space at 3 Market Lane before heading to 17 other venues. So this is a pretty exciting thing, and you can book at eventfinder.co.nz. It's in Wellington the 19th to the of June to the 5th of July, moves out to Porirua from the 4th to the 9th of July, Strathmore on the 14th of July, to Upper Hutt on the 17th, to Wainui Mata on the 18th of July. Then it moves to Hastings, Taranaki, Levin, Carterton, and there's more dates coming soon for Pahia Tour, Palmerston North, Fielding, Whanganui, Otaki, Paraparaumu, and Te Awa Karangi.
Well done. Now, Bach Music in New Zealand, New Zealand's leading combined choir and orchestra, is returning to stage this winter with Songs of Destiny, celebrating the choral brilliance of Brahms. Taking place on Sunday the 14th of June at Auckland Town Hall, the performance will be led by guest conductor Jose Aprarico. I'm hoping I'm saying that even slightly close. But Jose is an inspiring conductor and has a musical style influenced by his experience in opera and orchestral ensembles across Europe and New Zealand. Now based here in New Zealand, he is the artistic director of Napier's Civic Choir, Festival Opera, Project Prima Volta, and the principal conductor of the Hawke's Bay Orchestra. It has been stated that people should perform more Brahms, so the Bach Music in New Zealand is answering this request. Now you can find out all the details at bachmusica.com.
And Auckland Opera Studio presents a night of passion, drama and big voices at the Auckland Town Hall. So the Auckland Opera Studio, in association with the Manukau Symphony Orchestra and the Auckland Choral Society, returns to the Auckland Town Hall for one night only on the 28th of June with Opera Gala 26, a full-scale evening of opera at its best, and it's accessible to all. So, that taking to the stage is some of Aotearoa's most exciting operatic voices, including Felicity Tompkins, Bryony Bierman, Ridge Ponini, and Alfred, I'm not going to even try and pronounce that. I'm so sorry. Joined by the New Zealand trio violinist Amelia Hall, backed by the full force of Manukau Symphony Orchestra and the Choral Society, under the baton of Yuen Grode. This, with stage direction by John Davies. This is going to be an amazing night out. Expect romance, expect tragedy, expect goosebumps. The New Zealand Opera Studio, 28th of June at 5 p.m. at the Town Hall, with tickets on sale now at aucklandoperastudio.co.nz.
Brilliant. Now, if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We do have full shows now right through to the 21st of June, so you need to be chatting to us now about what you've got coming up towards the end of June and into July, or if you've got some great music for us to play, send it through. So, tell me, Emma, what have you got on this week after you're busy jetting around?
From memory, I'm not seeing anything, but we are, of course, going very close to Tech Week for Hadestown, as well as continuing to rehearse for Raise Your Voice, which is happening at the Rose Centre in 3 weeks' time, followed by Madagascar happening in 4 weeks' time. So it's a very busy time with that.
Doesn't stop at all. Any festivals coming up overseas that you're preparing for?
No. In fact, it was the Junior Theatre Festival in Europe today and yesterday.
Wow.
And it's the first time in 4 years I haven't gone.
Ah. Mm. Well, you've got enough on at the moment
to
cope with. I'm heading off to Melbourne, so I'm really looking forward to seeing Waitress after all these years. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yes, seen it twice.
I've never seen it, so I'm really looking forward. Both my girls meeting up in Melbourne and heading out for a night out there as I go and check out Melbourne University's big mid-year dance show. And speaking of any events like that, or if you've got something happening in your uni space like Massive Theatre, make sure you're emailing us, info@kickarts.org.nz. Theme of the day, what does home mean to you, Emma?
What does home mean to me? Probably comfort, warmth, and lots of hugs. Yeah, and puppies. My papa, he's not really a puppy now, though he's almost nine. So, yeah, my lovely dog. And my husband, obviously, and my son.
Yeah. Family. Sometimes it is that quiet space, isn't it? I think for you and I, we're so busy that home is that place that it can just be a little bit quieter and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks to all our guests for tonight. Since we're heading off to Waitress, we're going to close with Sarah Bareilles' version of She Used to Be Mine. Have a fabulous week, everyone. Kristen and Emma will catch you next week. Make sure you go out and
kick some arts.
Simple to say, most days I don't recognize me. But these shoes and this apron, that place and its patrons have taken more than I gave them. It's not easy to know I'm not anything like I used to be, although it's true, I was never attention's sweet center. I still remember that girl. She's imperfect, but she tries. She is good, but she lies. She is hard on herself. She is broken and won't ask for help. She is messy, but she's kind. She is lonely most of the time. She is all of this mixed up and baked in a beautiful pie. She is gone, but she used to be mine. Slips in through a back door and carves out a person and makes you believe it's all true. And now I've got you. You're not what I asked for. If I'm honest, I know I would give it all back for a chance to start over and rewrite an ending or two for the girl. She's kind. She is lonely most of the time. She is all of this mixed up and baked in a beautiful pie. She is gone, but she used to be your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live same time under the stars saying blah 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 blah. Let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Go kick